I wish to speak to you this morning, and before I begin to deal with the things that are on my mind, I want to say at the outset that there are certain times that I'm just amazed at how subtle God is sometimes. Sometimes that He just hints at things, and other times it is so blatant, it's so open, it's so adamant, that no one could deny that this is of God. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I hope as we look at this situation, we will see some of the times the subtlety of God and sometimes the boldness of God. And that's not even a right and proper word to use as it refers to God. But I use that so that you can understand what I'm saying. Now, the subtlety of the situation I want to refer to real briefly. When God sent Moses to deliver His children out of Egypt's bondage, Moses was instructed to tell Pharaoh that God has said, "Let Israel, even my firstborn, go." And this was pretty blatant. This was pretty bold. God says, "Let my people go. They belong to me. You let them go." On the other hand, as the plagues were brought upon the land, and in many of those plagues, the plagues touched only the Egyptians. God said, "I have put a difference between thee and the Egyptians." Well, I'd think if I were one of the Egyptians, after a while, even I'd get the message that something's going on here. This is not happening to the Israelites, and it's happening to us. Now, in that particular situation, God was being very subtle, yet very bold. Now, we watched this circumstance happen, and God clearly said He put a difference between thee and the Egyptians. The world in which we live today says, don't do that. Could I say to you that if you want to be right, you better make a difference? One of the worst things that can happen to one trying to follow the Lord today is not discerning that there's a difference between good and evil. And the world would tell you, well, we're all good old boys, when the Scripture says there's none good. Now, you can take what the world says, we're all good, or you can take what the Bible says, we're none good. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'll take what the Bible says. There's none good. But I want to speak to you this morning about a subject in the lives of the Old Testament. It's a very detailed subject, very intricate, and quite frankly can become very monotonous if all that you do is just deal with all the meticulous details that are involved there. And those of you who know me very well know that I sometimes can be very meticulous, but it's not my nature. As a general rule, just tell me the facts. One of the things that I've appreciated about the book that I referred to you recently about, called The Greatest Generation, written by Tom Brokaw, I told my wife, I'm halfway through the book, and I said, I appreciate it because he just tells it like it is. He doesn't put a lot of color on it and things of that nature. He just tells it like it is. Well, there are times it needs to be told just like it is. Well, when God delivered Israel from Egypt's bondage, and He institutes the tabernacle worship service, He institutes the Levitical priesthood, and all the sacrifices that were commanded, and all the carnal ordinances that they were commanded to keep, as they were to keep these when they went into the land to inhabit the land. God tells them, if you keep these commandments, I'll bless you, I'll give you the former rain, I'll give you the latter rain, the crops will come forth, and all the commandments they were commanded to keep. But in the midst of that great ceremony that God gave them, He sets forth, out of the Levitical priesthood, the high priest. Now I want to share something with you. Did God give, and here's some of the subtlety of this situation, did God give that tabernacle worship service to the world? No. He only gave it to the nation Israel. Did God give high priests to the world? No, He only gave them to Israel. Now, hold the phone. Brother, when God even whispers or hints at something, you better pay attention. There are some people who get upset about certain principles of doctrine because God doesn't mention it but once or twice in his book. Well, I got news for you. If he said it once, you better pay attention. Now, what I'm saying is, when God mentions something, God doesn't have to say something twice for it to be so. He doesn't have to keep pounding on it like I do point sometime for it to be so and for it to stand. Now, if the doctrines that are taught by the world were true today, God would not have delivered Israel from Egypt's bondage. Now, you pay close attention to what I'm saying. God wouldn't have delivered Israel from Egypt's bondage because they would have all been alike. God said they aren't alike. These belong to me. I'm going to deliver them. And I'm put a difference between thee and the Egyptians. And he gives them the priesthood. Now, if he gives them the priesthood, and I think about sometimes as I look at this situation, it's quite fascinating when you begin to examine how that the priests were set apart. These high priests were set apart, and by the way, when you study the priesthood, if you only look at the Levitical priesthood, if you only look at the high priest and his physical garments and his physical functions that he was going through, can I promise you, you will never see what's intended. If that's all you see, is what took place there. You will never see what was intended. Now you say, well, preacher, why is that true? Why is that so? The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 9, he said, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true. Which are figures of the true. He said, when you read about that Old Testament tabernacle service, he said, you recognize that was a picture of something. That was a figure of something. Now, we frequently will look at photographs, we'll look at pictures, and we'll say, that's me. Tis not. Tis not. That's a picture of me. Now, Paul said, this was a picture of something else. He said it was a picture of something, a figure of the truth. He said, but into heaven itself. Now, I'm going to deduce from that Paul said, if you look at the tabernacle worship service back over there, when that high priest went into the holiest of all, he said that was a picture of heaven itself. Now, you with me? That holiest of all, which was separated, and there was a veil that separated between the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the tabernacle. And he said there wasn't but one person that went in there. And that one person went in there just one day a year. Not every day, but one time a year. Now, was that everyone went in there one time a year? No. There was only one person, and he went in there one time a year. You know what he went in there for? What Brother John said. He's in there to make atonement for sins. He's in there to make atonement for sins. Now, all those sacrifices that were made by all those high priests for all those years, did they ever make atonement for sins? Did they ever put away sins? Paul said they didn't put away sins. He said there was a continual remembrance of sins. Now, hear me carefully. My point right here is, if all you had to look forward to was the continual remembrance of sins, the continual remembrance of sin, you'd get pretty discouraged. But I want you to realize that these were pointing forward to a time when sins were going to be atoned for. And there would be atonement. in Romans chapter 5, he says, whereby we receive the atonement, whereby we receive reconciliation, whereby we're made at peace with God, whereby we're made at one-ment with God. Now, as we begin to look at this situation, I want to examine how those priests were set apart. Those high priests, again, how was Aaron made a high priest? In Hebrews chapter 5, he said, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that was called of God, as was Aaron. That's how Aaron was made a high priest. God called him to be a high priest. God set him apart to be a high priest. Now, by the way, the next verse said, so also Christ honored not himself, but honored him that called him. Now, that says that God the Father chose Christ to be a priest. All right? Now, watch this carefully. Aaron was called of God to be a high priest. Now, was he called to be a high priest because he was such a good fellow? If that's what you think, again, I say there is none good, no, not one, and that includes Aaron. There is none righteous, no, not one. But you see, again, this is a picture of something. This is a picture of something. And I want you to realize, although there are some similarities in the Aaronic priesthood, there are some drastic differences in the Aaronic priesthood and the priesthood of Christ. Can that picture hanging on the wall talk to you? No, sir. Sure can. But watch this carefully now. Aaron was called of God to be a high priest. And as Aaron was called of God to be a high priest, why was he high priest? Because God set him apart to that work. All right? Now, as he was called and set apart to that work, how old did he have to be? How old did he have to be before he entered that work? He had to be 30 years of age. He had to be 30 years of age. As we look at several things, I want to point out to you real quickly some things. Joseph was 30 years of age when he was placed in command over all the storehouses of Egypt. He was 30 years of age. The Lord Jesus Christ was about 30 years of age when he was baptized of John on the River Jordan. Do I think that's an accident? No, I don't. I believe that's the subtlety of God profoundly setting forth in clear terms that he's going to abide by the pattern that he set. The Aaronic priesthood entered into the priesthood at 30 years of age. Now and by the way, they were born into this priesthood. Who was high priest after Aaron? Aaron's son. Who was high priest after him? His son. This is something that went down. This was hereditary. Well, was Christ born of the tribe of Levi, of the Aaronic priesthood? No, he wasn't. And thank God again that the Apostle Paul says, therefore, if perfection were under the Levitical priesthood, was perfection delivered under the Levitical priesthood? No, it wasn't. Then there would have been no place, no reason for another priest to rise after the order of Melchizedek. All right, now I want you to watch something real quickly concerning Melchizedek and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Aaronic priesthood. Melchizedek is a very interesting character that we're introduced to in Genesis chapter 14. He's not mentioned again in the scriptures until you get to Psalms 110. And then he's mentioned again in the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul tells the Hebrew brethren, he said, of Melchizedek, he speaks of him, and that's the only places you find him mentioned in the entirety of the Word of God. Melchizedek, we know, is a priest of the Most High God. He's called the King of Salem. He's called King of Righteousness. And he met Abraham when Abraham was returning from the slaughter of kings. He meets Aaron. He meets Abraham, and he gives Abraham bread, wine, and cheese. Those are the things that he gives Abraham as he's returning from the slaughter of kings. Now, Abraham, you know what Abraham did in honor to him? He gave him a tenth of all that he had. Did he owe it to him? Did he owe it to him? Was he in debt to this guy? No, he wasn't. But this guy was a priest of the Most High God, and he gave it to him in honor to his God. Now, I want you to watch this again. And as we look at this circumstance and see the Aaronic priesthood set apart, Aaron was a priest because God chose him to be a priest. And he's going to announce that he's going to occupy an office that no other man will occupy. It's going to pass on to his son, and it's going to continue down. How far down did that Aaronic priesthood go? It continued until there was a change in the priesthood. It continued until there was a change in the priesthood. And there arose another one after the order of Melchizedek. Now, there are a lot of times that God's people get them very confused in God's book when they go to read certain things and they read into them some things that are not said. When Paul's referring to Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews, he says, without mother, without mother, without father, without beginning of days, without ending of days, without descent. Now, for what it's worth, I want you to listen to me real carefully for the next couple of minutes. I have dear friends that contend because of that statement, that had to be Christ. That had to be Melchizedek had to be Christ. Because he didn't have a father, and he didn't have a mother, and he didn't have beginning of days, and he didn't have ending of days. Hold the phone and wait a minute. He did have a mother. He did have a mother. He did have a father. I grant you, he didn't have beginning of days, and he didn't have ending of days. But listen carefully. What he's talking about here, how was an individual made a priest after the order of Aaron? He's got to have the right mother. He's got to have the right father. And he has to be the right age. Okay? Now, what he's talking about here is Melchizedek was not of the tribe of Aaron. Melchizedek was not of the tribe of Aaron. He wasn't born into this priesthood. He was called of God to be a priest. He was called of God to be a priest. And it wasn't because he was of a certain age. It wasn't because of who his mother was. It wasn't because of who his father was. It was because God called him to be a priest. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, he was made priest. He was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it wasn't because of who his father was. It wasn't because of who his mother was. It wasn't because of how old he was. It wasn't because of his numbers of days or anything else. It was because God called him to be that. Now, the Aaronic priesthood was an individual, and there were several functions that the priesthood had to perform. The principal purpose, the principal function of the Aaronic priesthood was that they would make continual sacrifices. They made sacrifices. And what did they survive of? They survived of the sacrifices that were made. They ministered in the tabernacle. If an individual committed a sin, the individual didn't make their own sacrifice. They brought it to Aaron and he made the sacrifice. Okay? Now that's a beautiful picture, by the way. You and I are saying today, can we fix it up? No, we can't. But you see, we can come to one who's already fixed it up. And that priest could not forgive sins. That priest could make a sacrifice and an offering for sins. But you and I can bring our sins to a priest who can forgive sins. And you see, those high priests went into the holiest of all, which were figures of the truth. But our high priest is not entering into the holiest of all, which were figures of the truth, but he's entered into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us and to make intercession for us. You see, that's where he is. That's the superiority of Christ over the Aaronic priesthood. And yes, those individuals before, they gloried in the Aaronic priesthood. But Paul is setting forth in the book of Hebrews the superiority of the priesthood of Christ over those priests. Now, he's telling us further. How long did those priests continue? They continued until they died. I'm talking about the high priest now. I'm not talking about the whole tribe. I'm talking about the high priest. The high priest continued until he died. Well, what happened when he died? His son became high priest in his stead. His son became high priest in his stead. Well, Paul said, he said those priests didn't continue by reason of death. He said that this man abided the priest continually by the power of an endless life. You see the superiority of Christ in that situation? Now as we look at this situation and see again the Aaronic priesthood. That priest couldn't wear just whatever he wanted. He had specific garments he had to wear. And I won't go into all the garments that he was required to wear, but I want to go into some of them, and I want to point out to you some of the things that are involved as you begin to look at those priests over there. There are three colors that are repeated continually in the garments that he was to wear. He was to wear a robe, he was to wear an ephod, and he was to wear a mitre. And the three colors that were involved were blue, purple, and scarlet. Blue, purple, and scarlet. And of fine linen. This wasn't just cheap stuff, this was fine linen. Blue, purple, and scarlet. And there was gold embroidery that was over these garments. And if you think the fashion designers of today have anything on what God Himself designed when He set forth those priestly garments to be made and how they were to be made, you've got another thing coming. I want you to realize something that's involved right here. That priest is wearing a garment, and he has the ephod, which is a one piece garment, but it has a hole in it. A hole's cut to go around his neck. And it's him so that it doesn't tear. And on each shoulder they have what was called ouches. And no, that's not an owie. But those ouches were little pockets that were made in the corner of each shoulder. There was an ouch, which was a little pocket that was built. And it was filled with gold. It was filled with gold. And set in that gold was an onyx stone. Set in that gold was an onyx stone. Now if you've got the picture, you see this robe, which has a pocket on each shoulder, and it's filled with gold, and there's an onyx stone set in that gold. And in that onyx stone, is carved in each stone six of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the other stone are the remaining six of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now you can't read that without thinking about what Isaiah chapter 9 says, where he says, "Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and of his kingdom, he shall order it. He shall order it. And it goes further and says, to order in judgment and justice. In judgment and justice. This priest has a garment on it. Has a garment on him. And this garment is made of blue and purple and scarlet. And he has upon his shoulders the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. It sounds to me like he's pointing us to the one who's going to be the head over all Israel, the one who's going to be the head of the government. And I want you to realize, it's not a government that was going to be given to others. It's not a government that was going to end. It says of the end of his, and of his government and peace there shall be no end. There shall be no end. We watch continually as we see this circumstance develop, and that high priest not only had on that garment with those two stones on either shoulder, he also had on what was called a breastplate of judgment. A breastplate of judgment. And that breastplate of judgment was a piece of cloth that was a span wide and it was a span long. Now that's a span. It was a span wide and it was a span long. And by the way, do you know what's in that breastplate of judgment? Now again, watch this very carefully. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He did not die for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of His people. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood judgment on the cross of Calvary, He did not stand judgment for the whole world. He stood judgment for the sins of His people. He stood judgment for Israel, the Israel of God. I want you to watch this carefully now. The high priest, again, is wearing those garments. When he goes in to make atonement for the sins of Israel, do you realize? He goes in there, he's under the judgment of Almighty God. Now watch again. He has on this breastplate. This breastplate is, there are 12 stones in there. Any idea what's engraved in those 12 stones? The names of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's over his heart. And the judgment of all Israel is near to his heart. You think the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you think it was just a passing comment when the Lord Jesus Christ says, with great desire I have longed to eat this Passover with you? The Lord Jesus Christ, it says of Him in Hebrews chapter 12, He said, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He said that there was something that He wanted more than the shame that was there. There was a joy, and that was to see the family of God set free from sin. I want you to see this very carefully now. That high priest has on that breastplate. And that breastplate is also very ornate. It's embroidered with gold. And there are four rings in the four corners of that breastplate. And they're made out of gold. By the way, gold in God's book is the metal of royalty. It's the metal of kings. And purple in God's book is the metal of, is the color of kings. When Lydia was a seller of purple in the book of Acts, she made garments that were sold to royalty. All right, now, as we see the situation, that priest has on that breastplate, the breastplate that he carries, has four gold rings in the four corners. And there are two gold chains. If you don't get the picture that this is a very ornate, apparel, and it's for a specific purpose. It's for a specific purpose. Yes, it's to adorn that man in such a way that he will be noticed by Israel as he serves as their high priest. Now, attached to those gold rings, is a golden chain. And one golden chain comes from this ring to this golden socket. And it's attached here. And there's a golden chain that comes from this socket down to this corner of the breastplate. And the two other golden rings are also tied so that that breastplate is fastened in place. I want you to realize that the judgment of God, when it was placed upon His Son, is not something that's going to be moved. I want you to realize also, as we look at this situation, He had on what was called a curious girdle. It was also called a strange girdle. It was called the girdle of the ephod. And underneath all the girdle and everything else, He even had specific undergarments that had to be worn. Undergarments made of linen, that His nakedness not appear. He had to be clothed properly. Now, when he had on all these garments and all the apparel, there are some other items of furniture, there are other items of His apparel that I want you to pay notice to real quickly. He has on a mitre. And that mitre is basically what we would refer to as a turban today. It's a hat. And on the front of that turban, on the front of that hat, with blue lace. Now, you sisters will appreciate this. With blue lace, there was a gold plate. There was a gold plate, a gold crown that was placed there. And do you know what? There was a writing that was in the midst of that gold crown. You know what it said? It said, holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. It's right here. Now that high priest of old wore a gold plate up here that said, holiness unto the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ walked through this earth without having a gold plate up here, but having a mindset that was holiness unto the Lord throughout all the days of his life. That high priest also, as he went about, God told him, he said, on the hem of that garment, he said, you make bells of gold and pomegranates. Pomegranates. He said, you put a bell and a pomegranate. And a bell and a pomegranate. Done a fair amount of research in this area. And general conclusion is that there were 70 or 72 of those bells and pomegranates that went all the way around the hem of that garment. Now we have wind chimes today that sit out there in the breeze and you'll hear them make noise and chimes and so forth. But can you imagine with those bells and pomegranates what it would be like to try and move without making a noise? But you see, all Israel realizes when that priest, Israel knows that when that priest goes in there, I want you to recognize something. That priest does not go in there boldly. That priest, that high priest, although he's chosen of God for that purpose, that high priest does not go in there boldly. That high priest goes in there very fearfully. He's given very strict orders that he's to take the blood of the sacrifice that was made. He's to take the live coals from off the altar. He's to place it in the brazen pan which is in his hand. He's to take incense off the altar of incense. He's to sprinkle the incense on the bed of live coals. And he's to that it give off a smoke so that when he goes into the holiest of all, that he not even so much as look at the ark, that he not see the ark, lest he die. I want you to see the seriousness of the issue involved right here. Yet he's to go in there, he's to make an atonement for the sins of the people. How does he make atonement? How does he make atonement? Does he go in there and just take the blood and just scatter it? No, sir. He takes his right index finger, and he sprinkles that blood so many times. No, he sprinkles that blood 7 times. I want you to realize it's specific, but it's at the same time it's complete. Where does he do it? Does he do it outside? No, he doesn't do it outside. He does it inside. He sprinkles it on the mercy seat. Aren't you glad it was the mercy seat, not the judgment seat? I'm telling you that if God's people wanted justice, we'd be in terrible shape. If we got justice, if we got what we justly deserve, we'd be in terrible shape. We'd be lost world without end. But thanks be to God that he gave us mercy through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. As you see this situation, realize that high priest has on that garment, and he's going very hesitatingly into that place to make atonement for the sins of the people. You see, when those individuals, you see, if you had a problem in the old of the Old Testament, you couldn't even take your problem anywhere except to the high priest. Into language, you have to stop and say, now, wait a minute. And Paul does that also to cause you to stop and think again. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and the double negative, that means he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But it was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That says that he knows where you are. And Paul says, let us therefore come boldly unto a throne of grace. Aren't you glad that you today, you don't have to find some high priest on earth with all kinds of high priestly garments, but you have a high priest who has entered not into the holiest places made with hands, but which are figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, and he's there making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want you to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes we get so hung up on what Christ has done for us that we forget that he's still doing for us. And I say to you in all sincerity, I want to look one time real quickly and see how that sometimes we can get so confident. And I realize as far as in the sacrificial mediatorial office, the Lord Jesus Christ is set down and will remain set down. That work was done. It was complete. But I want you to realize as far as the intercessory work is concerned, it's going on every day. Now, I recall there was a time when a man by the name of Stephen, in the 7th chapter of Acts, was being stoned to death. You know what Stephen said? He said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man, not sitting in his mediatorial office, but he was standing on the right hand of God." You know what the next words out of that man's mouth were? He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he yielded up the ghost. I want you to realize the Lord Jesus Christ was standing there making intercessions for that poor saint as he was being stoned to death. The Lord Jesus Christ, as his advocate, was there. The Lord Jesus Christ was hearing his prayers and making intercession for him. I want you to realize the Lord Jesus Christ is a high priest, and he will abide a high priest forever, continually, and he's able to say that those high priests back there, they were able to only make the sacrifice, and it was left up to God. But I want you to realize that this high priest is able to save them to the uttermost. I want you to realize the Lord Jesus Christ was, when those priests made a sacrifice, when it came to the year of atonement, the time of atonement, the first thing that high priest had to do was he had to go in and make atonement for his own sins. That's the first thing he had to do, was go and make atonement for his own sins, because he was a sinner just like they were. But aren't you glad that your high priest did not have to go in and make atonement for his sins? You see, he didn't have any sins. And again, as I said, those high priests, although they made those sacrifices, they never once atoned for sins. There was just a remembrance brought about of those sins. But as we look at this situation, I want you to realize something that's involved right here. Those high priests that God set forth back there, they had several tasks that they were involved in, and it was more than just making sacrifice for sin. When it came, when the shewbread had to be replaced once a week, you know who brought it in? The high priest. The high priest brought it in. By the way, do you know what day he brought it in on? He brought it in on the Sabbath day. He put it in on the Sabbath day. When the oil had to be replaced in the lamp. You know who replaced it? The high priest. The high priest. When the incense had to be replaced and on the altar of incense, you know who replaced it? The high priest. Now I want you to look at some of these pictures. When you need bread, where do you have to go? You're going to have to go to the high priest. When you need light, and that's what that oil furnished, that oil and that lamp furnished them light. When you need light, where do you have to go? James said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Okay? Now, I won't deal with the next part of that verse, because all I want right now is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all our life. And by the way, that incense, we're told in the book of Revelation, he says, that incense which is the prayers of the saints. Who's our intercessor? Our intercessor is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our advocate's the Lord Jesus Christ. As you begin to see these things try and come to focus right here, the next thing that I want you to see that high priest was involved in, when an individual had leprosy, which was an incurable disease in the lives of the Old Testament, when that individual had leprosy, you know who was called on to judge it? The high priest. High priest had to look at it. high priest had to make the call. He's clean. He's not clean. Now, by the way, they'd go through certain procedures. They'd go through certain procedures. And I want to look at another circumstance that takes place in the lives of the New Testament. There was a time in the lives of the New Testament the Lord Jesus Christ came to some lepers and he healed them. He healed them. You know what he told them? He said, you go and make the offering according to the law of Moses, not in order to get healed, he said, for your healing. Now, by the way, when they made that sacrifice, now, if you haven't got the point, here's one of the subtleties in the situation. This message has grace written all over it. When they were healed, when they made the sacrifice, did that cure their leprosy? No. Their leprosy was already cured. They were making the sacrifice according to the law of Moses because they were healed. Not in order to get healed, because they were healed. Now that high priest back there, he looked on sin, he looked on leprosy, and he judged it. By the way, what happened to the lepers in the lives of the Old Testament? Now, if you haven't got a picture of this right here, leprosy was and still is a picture of sin. Leprosy and leaven are both a picture of sin. Where were the lepers? Did they sit on the back row? Did they sit on the front row? They weren't allowed in the camp of Israel. They were put out of the camp of Israel. Why were they put out of the camp of Israel? And by the way, if I'm a leper in that period of time, in that day and time, and I see you approaching, do you know what I have to do by the law of the land? If I see you coming, I have to yell, unclean. Unclean. Do you think that's a lot of pride in those individuals having to state publicly that they're unclean? Can I tell you something? Folks, we'd have a lot better country today. We'd have a lot better country today if more people for their sins would say unclean. And people would be brokenhearted to repent of their sin and live lives that were pleasing unto God. Now, I'm telling you that leprosy back then was a picture of sin, but I'm telling you that sin has always been sin. And that high priest, I thank God, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he bore the sins of Israel. The Israel of God, of which you and I are named today. And you might say, well, Brother Ed, which of those 12 tribes are you? I don't know. And it doesn't make me any difference. As long as I'm in that number, I don't care which one I am. And I say to you in all sincerity, if you have the love of God in your heart, it's an evidence that you are of that number. And I say to you in all sincerity, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the love that he has for his people, in Isaiah chapter 49, he says, will a woman forget her sucking child? Yea, she may. But I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thy names are engraven upon the palms of my hand. Now, if you haven't got the picture, that's continually before him. That's continually before him. He said, I won't forget you. I won't forget you. Yes, in this day and time in which we live, we see circumstances, you read horror stories many times. There was a newborn infant that was found left on the doorstep. One was found in the trash dumpster, first one thing and another. That's the world in which we live, but God said, I won't forget you. I won't forget you. Question mark. Is he not going to forget the world? The promise is he won't forget his people. The promise is he won't forget his people. And I close with John chapter 6, my favorite verse of Scripture. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Well, how are they going to come to him? He said, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him. Now, because the Father is going to draw him, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh unto me, him I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him which has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all he hath given me,
I should lose nothing, but raise it up again. Now, if he's going to raise it up again, that means he's already raised him up once. Raise it up again at the last day. Aren't you glad that you have the promise as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that him having raised you from a death in sin to a life in Christ, that when he comes back the last time, that he will raise up these bodies made like unto his own glorious body, and yet without sin. Without sin. Delivered from the curse of all the things that Brother John read to us about in Romans chapter 5. Delivered from those things. As the offense of one, many were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Yes, all those that were represented in Adam all died. And all those that were represented in Christ shall live. Yes, our high priest, I'm going to say to you, as glorious as those garments were, that Aaronic high priest wore, they weren't good enough. They were not good enough. With all the gold, with all the precious stones, with all the gold embroidery and everything, they were not good enough to be compared with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to realize that you and I have the privilege today, if we follow him in what he has said in putting on his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have privilege today of putting on garments, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are far superior to all the royalty that high priest was clad in. May God bless you as you consider these things. The doors of the church are open.